Everyone, Clint Bitter here. Thanks for checking out another Project 44 Daily Accelerator. Today is October 21st. Well, it is good to be in the New Testament, right? The wait is over, silence has been broken, light is piercing the darkness, and Christ has come. It is good news. And I'm not sure about you, but I'm excited to read through the New Testament with the backdrop of the Old Testament freshly on my mind. It's going to be interesting to see what things pop with the prophetic and historical background just set against the New Testament scene. Well, today, our reading took us primarily through Matthew and Luke chapter 2. Matthew, Luke, and Mark are considered the synoptic gospels because they share so much content. Without a doubt, Matthew was the most popular gospel account within the second century church. But while there's some debate over whether Matthew or Mark was written first, the practical application of that debate really is minimal. So whether it's first or second written, Matthew is an account of the life and the ministry of Jesus that's inspired by the Holy Spirit of God and is therefore an effective rule for our lives. Well, one of the things that you'll notice as you read through Matthew is the compelling case that he makes for the legitimacy of Christ as the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. You know, throughout the book, you'll see Matthew quoting the prophets and how they pointed forward to the person of Jesus Christ. One possible reason for this flavor of the content is the likelihood that this gospel was written for an audience of mostly Jewish converts to Christianity. They would have understood every subtle reference. They would have known every prophet, and their understanding of Jesus as the long-promised Messiah would be solidified in the reading and studying of this account of Jesus' life. Well, our reading today begins with something that's only found in Matthew's gospel, and it's the visit of philosopher priests to the child Jesus. You know, I want to note that right from the very beginning, Jesus is an unusual figure. Of course, we've just reread the account of Jesus' virgin birth and other extraordinary events around his coming. But we see the remarkability of Jesus again in today's scripture. You know, these men from the east, they come looking for a king, and they go to King Herod to determine where this baby is, where this newborn king will be found. And the scripture tells us that not only Herod is shocked, but all of Jerusalem is shocked with him. I mean, can you imagine the rumors flying around about this newborn king of the Jews? It's a scandal, and if you can imagine it, it's easy to understand how Herod felt really threatened by this baby. You know, and all of this is happening because of a baby that was born on a road trip in a stable in the company of shepherds. I mean, this is unheard of stuff that somebody so poor and so lowly would capture the minds and the attention of such important people. You see, from the very beginning, the boy Jesus is a figure that causes people to perk up and take note. And certainly this continues to our day. We can speak of God and we can speak of religion with very little pushback, but the name of Jesus sparks a response in people that brings unique reactions oftentimes. Well, it should be noted that these magi don't find Jesus on the night of his birth in the company of the shepherds. It's pretty plain to read here as our text is organized chronologically, but this drives me crazy during the Christmas season when I see nativity scenes that depict the wise men bringing their gifts then and there as if they were there, and my wife reminds me that I probably overreact when, just to prove my point, I'll take the wise men toys out of our kids' nativity scene. That's probably overreacting. But truthfully, our best estimates, they put these Eastern travelers in Bethlehem 6 to 12 months following Jesus' birth. Jesus is referred to as a child, not a babe. The family is found in a house, not in an inn. And additionally, you have to take into account the amount of time it would take these magi to follow a star westward. And not only that, but to follow that star then from Jerusalem on to Bethlehem. So finally, when Herod inquires about when they had first seen the star, he orders the death of boys in Bethlehem under 2 years old. Now, if the birth had been closer, he likely would have been more specific. So wise men at the nativity scene seems unlikely. Well, I'd like to highlight one more thought from this story. Remember, Matthew is written to a Jewish audience. Now, thinking and studying through the visit of the Magi, a story, again, only found in Matthew, it occurred to me how powerful of a statement this must have been to the Jewish reader. If you'll remember, in the early church, we find those of Jewish descent fighting for significance over their Gentile Christian counterparts. You see, the Jews felt that they had an exclusive claim to this promised Messiah. Now, when you put that together with the picture of these men from a pagan nation recognizing the kingship of Jesus, this is the first indication that we have of Jesus' ministry, his life, his death, and his resurrection, and that it would accomplish something not just for those of Jewish heritage, but for those of human heritage. This is a moving picture right off the bat that Jesus, he transcends race, he transcends political affiliation. Jesus transcends your citizenship. Jesus is establishing an eternal kingdom of people from every tribe, of every nation, and every tongue. And that is good news. Well, in our reading today, there's also the very dark account of Herod's brutality. Moving in greed and insecurity, Herod orders the death of all boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who are 2 years old and younger. Scholars estimate that about 30 children were killed. And when we see this, it's no wonder that Joseph kept his family in Egypt until word of Herod's death and the dream told him that it was safe to return. But even upon his return, he finds Herod's son on the throne, and being warned in another dream, he flees to Galilee, and they settle in a town called Nazareth. So certainly, there's more that we could address in our text today, but we'll stop here for now. I'll be back tomorrow with more from the gospel accounts. Until then, this is Clint Bitter. Go and be a blessing today.